show to fly by. Don't forget to take a moment, take a look up in the sky. Think about the blessings, all the blessings that you got. It's a great day to be alive.
Welcome to Faith in Sports. Hello, I'm your host, Rick Bowles, and my co-host, Mr. Carnell, is out of town today, and we're going to have a great show because of that. I was just waiting for some comments there from our producer. Our producer is James Bridges, a.k.a. JB, and Faith in Sports will be highlighting coaches, student athletes, and all things SAGU athletics. SAGU is a Christian university located in the heart of Waxahachie, Texas. We are happy for one of our own alumni sponsoring this radio program. VCR Now is a technology organization that can fulfill all your LED, audio, video, lighting needs, whether at a sports stadium, arena, house of worship, or business. Well, I am excited to have our guest on tonight's show, two of our baseball players, one who made history of his own recently, and we'll get into that a little bit later. But before we introduce them, JB, why don't you give us an update on some scores from last week?
Well, speaking of baseball, the Lions hosted Central Christian College out of Kansas on Friday. The first game, SAGU won 9-0 and then went on to win the second game 8-1. Then last Saturday, they beat Central Christian 15-1, winning all three games in the series. Softball traveled to Fort Worth for 2 days of a doubleheader action against Texas Wesleyan University. Last Tuesday, picking up both wins with shutouts, and on Wednesday, losing the first but winning the last game 12-3.
That's some good baseball and softball information right there. So both teams are doing well, and it's always fun to be a part of the winning side. These guys can definitely tell you about that. So this week, both teams will be traveling to Oklahoma, where softball will play the University of Science and Arts of Oklahoma on Friday and Saturday. Both of those are doubleheaders. Going to be a little tired after Saturday. Mm-hmm. Baseball will be going to Southwestern Christian. They're in Oklahoma as well with the doubleheader on Friday and Saturday. And we'll find out how these guys handle, you know, all that activity in 2 days. The track and field team will also be in Oklahoma. They will be in Shawnee on Saturday for the Oklahoma Baptist University meet. So Oklahoma, I guess, is the place to be for this week.
Yeah.
So if you want to know more about what's happening with our athletic department, just go to sagulions.com for all the details. So tonight's program, we have we don't have two pitchers. We have a pitcher and we have a catcher for SAGU Lions. Maddox Henderson comes from Fort Worth and is a redshirt freshman and place catcher. Do I have that right? Are you a redshirt freshman?
I'm honestly not sure. I think I might be a redshirt sophomore, but
Okay.
I'm not entirely sure.
You know, I just go by what's on the website. So if it's wrong, we'll blame Darian, you know, our sports information guy. Hopefully he's not listening. Michael Watson is a junior.
Yes,
all right. Left-handed pitcher.
Sir.
And you played at Glen Rose High School. So, gentlemen, welcome to Faith in Sports. So we're just going to go through some questions back and forth here and find out a little bit better about who you are and just some things related to baseball here at SAGU. So, Maddox, we'll start with you. You grew up in the big city of Fort Worth.
Yes, sir.
And what impact would you say that your parents made on you specifically as it relates to baseball, growing up playing baseball? Give us a little history of what your life looked like.
So they put me in baseball when I was really young. I was 3 and they started me out with T-ball. My dad was always a big baseball fan. My mom just came from kind of an athletic family. Her dad playing football in his background, but I just kind of stuck with it and played it every spring, and I haven't really missed a season since. Like, ever since I started, I never really stopped, and so they just kind of just encouraged me with whatever I chose to do. They just wanted me to be successful and try to teach me how to work hard and everything through it. So
did you play mainly baseball? Did you have other sports as you got into junior high and high school?
I played some other sports. Baseball was always my main sport. I played basketball and football as well. There was one summer I played AAU basketball and only a little bit of baseball.
And you're smiling, so did that not go well or what?
It was really, really fun. It just kind of cut into baseball a lot.
There you go.
I couldn't really do both, but
so at a pretty young age, you knew baseball was kind of what you wanted to do, at least to a certain extent, through early part of your like you wanted to go to play baseball in college. Was that a dream?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was always a goal.
Well, let's backtrack a little bit. We found out that you're a sophomore. Have you figured out what your degree is yet?
Sports management.
Okay. Sounds good. All right. So I've gotten to know your dad just a little bit, and he's his organization. He's been a little supportive of some of our golf tournaments, which is very appreciative.
Yes, sir.
Yep. So what is your goal right now playing baseball at SAGU? So you're a sophomore, so you've got a couple more years. I mean, you're a catcher. So do you set individual goals? Do you set, hey, I want to be part of team goals, we want to win so many? Kind of go through the process you specifically have as a catcher, as a player, part of a team, and do you set goals, and how does that work?
I try to just put myself in the best position where I can help the team in whatever role that I'm given. Obviously, college baseball is kind of a roller coaster, so you go through highs and lows a lot. And so I think you have to just find a way to be consistent. And so that's one thing for me going into this season was just finding a focus to stay consistent when things aren't going great. And that's just trying to help the team in whatever role that I'm given and trying to execute that as best as I possibly can.
I mean, do you start in the season, you know, because you don't play every game. I mean, neither of you guys play every game. Some of it's different, but because of the particular area that you play. But I mean, do you go, if I could just bat 280 or 270, do you do that at all? I mean, do you say, hey, I want to improve my batting, or is it all more focused on catching?
For me, it's not necessarily like a specific number all the time. Hitting's kind of weird. It'll beat you up a lot because even the best hitters in the world fail the majority of the time. So I kind of, as long as my approach is good, that's one thing that I've really been focused on this spring is modifying my approach to make sure that stays solid. So if I'm seeing good pitches and I'm able to put a barrel on good pitches, then I think I'm good to go. Because a lot of times you can catch a good barrel, have a good result, and still get out. So I think if I'm focused too much on whether or not I'm safe or out, rather than if I'm generating like consistently good approach, then I'll probably be a better hitter.
It's an interesting sport because you're going to strike out a lot. I mean, that's just that's part of it, right? But you got to somewhere along the way hit the ball too. So yeah, it's kind of a good balance there. So was it your goal to always play at the college level, play baseball? Or did it just kind of happen in a sense?
I'd always knew I'd wanted to since I was young, and I kind of set my sights on that when I was probably around in middle school.
Yeah, yeah. So did your dad have anything to do with coaching? Did he do any coaching for you when you were younger?
He didn't ever coach like on a team that I played for. He mostly just helped me outside of like organized baseball practice and everything. So
yeah.
But he never actually, like, officially coached me.
Well, he's a worship guy, right? So,
yes,
you know,
sir.
I mean, does he even know how to spell baseball? I'm hoping he's going to listen to this. See, that's why I said that, right? No, I'm kidding. So, your mom, did she have any role at all for you as it relates to being a baseball player growing up, other than just supporting?
Mostly just support from her end. And then, like I said, her dad was a college athlete as well, so he kind of understood what it took to get there, and so he was incredibly supportive and offered a lot of advice.
Cool.
On that road.
So, Michael, you've had a pretty good season so far from what I've been able to understand, and you're getting we'll get into that a little bit later, but tell us about growing up in Glen Rose, Texas, and how all that was about, and what sports did you play growing up to this point?
Sir, so I was growing up in Glen Rose. There wasn't really, it's a small town, so there's not much to do. And we lived outside of town, so I spent a lot of my time just in the front yard playing baseball, like throwing baseballs, hitting baseballs off the tee, or walking around with a little BB gun.
Really?
You know, just spent, that's how I spent my time.
Yeah.
And, but I grew up just like Maddox was saying, I grew up playing baseball, started when I was three and just fell in love with the sport. I played fall, springs, all-star season in the summer, all that stuff. I played it like, I think 3 years of basketball, through little league all the way through middle school. It was pretty bad. I'm not good at basketball at all, but I've always known like baseball is my sport.
Sure.
And that's what I've done year round.
Well, my son is an athletic trainer at a high school, and he really recommends for athletes, especially, you know, when they just start playing up through maybe middle school to do more than one sport. Mm-hmm. It's good for you physically and even mentally. So it's cool that, you know, I've heard of some athletes in junior high and high school just playing one sport along the way. And I don't know. Everybody has a different opinion on it.
But that's like, for me, what that was, that was kind of like, I know people talk about like the variety, you know, the importance of playing a variety of sports, but I honestly think it was a God-given like drive for
sure,
me.
Sure.
Just because that's all I ever wanted to do.
Yeah.
And I never started getting burnt out or anything like that. That's just, baseball is all I ever wanted to do.
Well, I mean, anybody can say, hey, I want to be the best football player in the world, but if they don't have certain God-given gifts and skills, they're never going to be there, right? So a lot of it is kind of, it's just, you're just almost endowed. God says, hey, I'm going to give you this ability. And then you've got to work and you've got to, you know, mm-hmm. to get better at it. But, you know, me personally, you know, I wanted to be a great quarterback. I never made it past second string, you know, so that just wasn't my gift, right? But move over, tennis, here I come. So what? But this isn't about me, JB, right?
No, we go back and forth with
Carnell a lot, you know. But you know, I'm getting older. You know, I have to go back and think of the good old days. So anyway, so tell me about what your degree here is at SAGU, and maybe something you want to do after that.
So right now, my degree is in physical education, and I think I might be changing after this semester, but we'll see what happens.
To what?
That's a good question. Okay. I think I might be switching to pre-professional education and adding a minor in business sports management.
So we are adding kinesiology. I don't know if y'all knew
That's very tempting.
But it's sometimes people think of kinesiology and they think of like what my son does, it's just being an athletic trainer.
Not at all.
But you can do rehab, you can do all kinds of stuff.
And so that's exactly like what I actually would value a kinesiology degree a lot.
So we're excited about being able to add that. So you kind of talked about how long you've played baseball. So was it your goal to play at the college level at some point?
Yeah, that's about middle school, about the same time I was in 7th, 8th grade, I knew like, hey, this is what I want to do. I want to go, you know, I obviously next step is I want to play for my varsity team at high school, but then I want to play at the next level and just, you know, keep going for as long as I can.
So tell us about a little bit more about your upbringing. I don't know anything about your family, so was your dad involved in coaching at all, and was he an inspiration for baseball specifically?
Yeah, so like I said, like me joining baseball, like I was put into it, I guess, but at the same time, I knew I wanted to. Always been a baseball fan, big baseball family. My dad coached me all through Little League, I think almost every year he would coach me, just because I mean there wasn't a lot of dads that would coach our teams.
Sure.
But he always would, and he's a firefighter too, and so there was days like when he was on shift and stuff, my mom would fill in, and so you'd have my mom coaching a t-ball team. It was, think back on stuff like that, it's funny,
but that's good, you know. She, you know, some moms don't want to even be out there, you know, but for her
she was hands-on. Yeah. I mean, all over it. Yeah. For very supportive towards that, and they always helped, you know, they supported me as long as I wanted to do it and supported me all the way through it.
Well, my mom's not going to hear this, so I'm gonna rat my mom out.
Oh, no.
Yeah, here's another story. So I was playing – we didn't have T-ball back in the day, so I think I was probably 7, and we were playing regular pitch. And I was catcher, and it was the summer, and I got hit right in the head. Somehow, I think it was maybe a foul ball. Of course, I had a mask on, but somehow it kind of knocked me out for about, you know, seemed like a long time, but it was probably 30 seconds. And, you know, back in those days, we didn't have cell phones, and my mom just would drop me off, and she'd go do her thing. And you know, I'm like, I'm injured. Where's my mom? I'm 7 years old, right? And back in those days, it was like, oh, you know, get tough. Come on, get back in there, you know. So anyway, I'm like, got knocked out. I don't know if I finished or not, but then eventually my mom pulled up, and I'm like, hey, Mom, I got hit in the head and got knocked out. Were you doing okay? Yeah, okay, good. I mean, that was it. I mean, you know.
Word of mercy.
No mercy. No compassion, you know. But that, it's just a different day back in those days, you know. So, anyway. So, Maddox, were you recruited to play SAGU, or did you walk on? Kind of tell us the process to get here.
I was recruited a little bit. I came, so my senior year, December, I believe. I came here on for a camp, and I did pretty well at the camp. And then a little while later, Coach Matt invited me out on a visit, I think in that next January. And so I came on that, toured the school and everything, and then I had another workout where they saw me play again. And then after that day, they offered me a spot.
Okay, cool. How about you?
So kind of the same, little bit of the same thing. I came to a camp. It was August of my senior year, or just I guess maybe like right before senior year started. Came to a camp and I threw fairly well, and I think I came on a visit a few weeks after that. I got my offer then, or after the visit, and then after that, I came to campus days, did some more stuff just kind of around the campus, seeing how I liked it. I signed on signing day I came up here and signed, actually, yeah. And then even came in the spring to watch a couple games, too, just kind of keeping up with Sagar. Of course, that was leading into COVID, but it was before COVID hit when season was going.
We won't even go into all that, will we? That was fun. We're going to go a little deeper now. So what so far, I'll ask you, Michael, since you're the older junior here in the group, you know, like junior in college. Yeah.
Well, it's funny. Well, Maddox is older than me.
Oh, okay. But as far as
on the field. On the field.
So you've been here a little bit longer. So anything particular that you have learned? Anything particular that you have learned on the baseball field at all since you've been here? What are some of the things you've learned?
Man, since I've been here, like coming in, I was very naive, just a young, very immature freshman. I mean, a lot of athletes are coming in as freshmen, but I was able to come in and I learned an entire new, different aspect of a game and how to pitch, how to handle pitching, especially at the collegiate level. And I'm just super grateful for my teammate, like my older teammates that I had before. That just kind of led me through that process of just maturing through the game, because I don't think that I'd be where I'm at now as a player without them.
So what about you, Maddox? I mean, what are some things maybe you've learned being at the college level here about baseball specifically that you maybe surprised you, that college baseball might be different than high school ball?
Yeah, my wake-up call in that this is definitely was not high school anymore was we got put into workout groups. And you remember Dennis Smith?
Oh, yeah.
So we get put into workout groups. My first morning, it's 7 a.m. I wake up. I come here to lift. And one of the guys that's in my workout groups, his name was Dennis Smith. And talking to him, I find out he's like 26 years old. I'm like, wow, I'm like 18-year-old kid. And I'm talking to him about it. And we were, like, talking about, like, lifting and everything. And I forgot what we said. But he's like, yeah, they taught me that in the Marines. And I'm like, you were in the Marines? He's like, yeah. I'm like, well, thank you for your service. He goes, yeah, man, it was fun. I was like, oh, my gosh, I'm lifting with a 26-year-old Marine.
Yeah, man, it was fun.
Oh, yeah, he was nuts. Yeah, it was crazy.
Yeah.
But I was like, wow, you don't get that in high school. This is pretty crazy.
I got a good wake-up moment, too. Home runs. As a pitcher.
So you're saying you didn't experience a lot of those on the other end in high school?
Not at all. Yeah. Nah, I mean, maybe – I think I might have given up one throughout – before I came to college, I think I might have given up, like, one or two. Yeah. Definitely under five through my, like, 6 years of pitching before college. And then I come to college, and I'm like, wow. And so that was a big – like, you know, before – you know, in high school, that kind of stuff, like, home runs are crushing as a pitcher. You get to college, it's like, hey, man – it happens.
Yeah.
And
so you just kind of have to look at your pride and go, oh, well. You know,
yeah, exactly.
So you guys, so I would, a batter might go, what, two times to bat during a game, typically? I mean, I know it depends on how many outs and all that, but I mean, you're going to see a batter more than once usually,
typically,
right?
Typically three.
Okay, so. Yeah. Is there a tell that you can sometimes, you know, the first one, especially if it's somebody you hadn't played the year before, the mm-hmm. individual person. But is there anything that you can see maybe the second or third time up that you go, there's a tell this guy has and I can kind of pitch different? Or do you rely solely on the catcher to kind of give you direction?
So I always go like the biggest motto that I go off of is just, I mean, I'm going to attack the hitter with my best stuff and usually attack a hitter with a fastball until he proves he can hit it. And so that's the biggest thing. I mean, I don't know. The way I kind of see it too is I kind of generalize all hitters are a little bit the same until they prove that they're different. And so just I just attack them with my best stuff. And then,
so
is, you know,
is fastball your pitch?
I mean that's my usually my go-to. I guess like I get I get a lot of success. I have a lot of success off my fastball, but at the same time I can't, you know, I have to rely off my other stuff too, my changeup,
sure,
curveball,
sure,
to get, you know, a lot of strikeouts. Or even weak play ball or weak ground ball,
sure,
stuff like that.
Sure. So same thing for a catcher. I mean, after you've seen the guy for the first time, do you notice anything that you can help the pitcher out at all?
Yeah, I kind of make a note on, like, what he's done on pitches before and, like, his first two at-bats, if we're getting later in a game. Kind of read his swing, seeing what he's on time for, what he's not on time for. Like, if Michael is, like, just blowing guys away with a fastball, then it's if it ain't broke, why fix
sure,
it? But
sure.
There's a lot of times you kind of got to mix it up to keep a hitter on his toes. We like to do that a lot.
Have you almost been knocked down before from a pitch?
From a pitch, maybe not necessarily, but a foul ball,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, a couple of times.
Those can be wicked.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you saying that the hitters hit harder than I throw.
Well, we won't read anything. Well, Michael, I understand that you had a historic game last Friday. Kind of tell us, walk us through what happened to you. Was it last Friday?
Yes, sir. Yeah. It was this past Friday.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
So what'd you do?
I threw a no-hitter.
Cool. Is that your first one in college?
That was my first one ever.
Oh, really?
Actually.
Wow, wow.
Yeah.
Cool.
Pretty hard to do that, I guess.
Sure.
I mean, I don't know. I was just kind of cruising through the game, and then I walk out to the mound in the fifth inning, and I always had a little routine. I get the ball and take a deep breath, kind of look over, and this time I looked over and look at the scoreboard, and I'm like, oh, I haven't given up a hit. And then, you know, baseball players are super superstitious. And so that was a tongue twister. They're very superstitious. And so
seriously, I'm like, superstitious.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so I was like, oh no, Michael, don't say that. Don't say that. Don't say that. And so I had to like get out of my own head for a minute. And yeah, then after that I got on the mound, kinda cleared my head.
So you didn't get nervous in the ninth inning or anything?
No. It was seven inning doubleheader game.
Oh, seven inning.
Yes,
okay,
sir.
Sorry.
But I didn't, and I've kind of, that's part of like the maturing in the game too, is I don't really get nervous much in games anymore, and it's just, I think part of it's because I've let go of results, and I've kind of given that to God, and it's like the only thing I can control is the work I put in leading up to the game, and then, you know, after I let go of the ball, I have no control over what happens after that.
That's true. That's true. It takes a lot of pressure off yourself. Well, since you mentioned God, kind of walk us through maybe a little bit of just quickly your story of how you came to know Christ.
So I grew up in church. Yeah. I mean, we went to church, of course, just about every Sunday except when I had tournaments and travel ball and stuff. But I grew up, I think I got saved when I was six. But I grew up in church and just always had a relationship with God, but I never realized like how much more relational it could get until I actually came to SAGU. Like I realized kind of like in coming here, I'm like, I have a baby relationship with God, and then just because of the people that are here and like the teammates that I had that led me, and just like even professors,
sure,
and people that surrounded in my environment like helped me grow my relationship even further. And just have gotten me to a place where I really know, like, I can find peace in Him. I can find power in Him. And, like, He is my comforter.
That's neat. So, Maddox, share a little bit about your faith story.
So, I also grew up in church. You know my dad. So, I'm the son of two ministers, both doing a ministry called Fellowship of the Sword.
Right.
So, I grew up around that whole thing. I accepted Christ super early in life. I was around seven. My dad led me through the prayer on the side of the road, and so I'd always heard about God, but I think my relationship really deepened probably when I was in high school, around 16 years old. I kind of made the decision, like, hey, if I'm gonna live this life, then I've got to really understand what I believe for myself and really have my own personal relationship with Christ. And so I started to ask a lot of questions. But, like, I've been told certain things my whole life. I'm going to see if they're all actually true. And I started reading scripture a lot more, dove a lot deeper into Bible study. And I think because of that time in my life, my foundation is a lot more solid. And so my relationship is a lot more personal than it was.
Just quickly tell us a little bit about what the I know you guys, you know, Christian University is different. You have a lot of opportunities, and probably as a student, you're like, oh, there's a lot more opportunities probably than I want, and that's fine. You know, we do chapel 3 times a week, but you do dorm devotions. How is dorm devotions? Because you're, you know, some universities separate the athletes from the regular students, you know, but you're kind of all mixed in here. So how is it to do a dorm devo with the guys on your hall? I mean, just tell us a little bit about the impact that can have on you.
So it's nice. I live on the first floor of Bridges, and so the first floor is a little bit smaller than all the other floors because we only have the one wing. And so there's about 10 guys on the floor, and about half of us are baseball players.
Okay.
So that's kind of cool, but we get to hang out.
We didn't mean to do that. No.
But we get to hang out just kind of in our RA's room and talk. And I think because it's so small, we just get to share more, and there's more of a community there.
That's cool. That's cool. Yeah. Well, guys, thank you for joining us on Faith and Sports this week. And I know you guys are heading out to Shreveport tomorrow. Yes, and then, sir. Like we said, you're going to Oklahoma over the weekend. Well, JB, tell us just a little bit before we end the show about our sponsor.
Well, VCR Now is so proud to promote their brand on this broadcast. Driven by producing quality LED video boards and state-of-the-art audio and video production systems at affordable prices, VCR Now makes sure to listen to your needs as an athletic department, business, or church before recommending the next best steps. Come by the office campus and visit the Schaefer Activity Center and check out the double-sided LED scoreboard in our gymnasium provided by VCR Now. For more information, visit vcrnow.com.
Well, Faith in Sports is a broadcast property of SAGU, a Christian university located here in Waxahachie. Has over 70 undergraduate and graduate degrees, including on-campus and online options. Faith in Sports is sponsored, as you just heard, by vcrnow.com. Visit sagu.edu for more information. Also, stay up to date, all things SAGU athletics at sagulions.com. Thanks. Have a great night. We'll see you next Monday.